This morning, I hope you have your Bible or will follow along on your device as we look together at just two verses of Scripture. We're going to be exploring Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13 this morning. And as we do so, we find ourselves in the midst of a series through the book of Deuteronomy. I'm hitting some of the highlights. I'm not going verse by verse, because the story of Deuteronomy is actually a sermon, or even parts of it, a song that Moses composes as he tries to encourage and share faith with a brand new generation that's going into the land of promise. And so there will be some repetition, as we see in this book, of things that we've read in previous chapters of God's Word as we get to this exciting point of stepping into a new future and a new horizon. And so this morning, as we look at these verses together, I want to ask you to think with me about a conversation that took place in the New Testament. It's the conversation of a rich young ruler who comes to Jesus. And he's asking him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He's looking for the requirements. What does it take to be acceptable to God? What does it take to get in on the promises of heaven and everlasting life and everything that I have to look forward to, that I've been preparing in my life? And Jesus turns, as very typical would be the case, he turns a question into a question. And he says, "Well, what does the law say? How do you read it?" And this rich young ruler begins to recite the Ten Commandments. And he says, "All of these I've done since I was young." And then Jesus says to him, "Well, there's one thing you lack. You need to go and sell everything and give to the poor, and then you'll have riches in heaven." And the young man went away grieved over that answer, because the scripture says he had many, many things. So we think about the requirements. What does it take? Well, in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 and 13, we have, if you will, some requirements. Why, if you and I can just do these things, we're going to be okay. If you and I can put these in not only our memory bank, but in our heart, and if we can practice them consistently, we're going to be okay. Look what it says. "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good." Okay, let me ask you a question here. And I really want you to be completely honest with your pastor. As if you've never been honest with me before, I want you to be honest about this question. How many of you have ever in your life, in a public gathering, sung "Happy Birthday to You"? Would you raise your hand? Oh, come on, everybody. Is there anybody who has never sung that song here? See, here's the point. We've all broken the law. You cannot sing that song in public without violating a federal copyright statute. Anybody here ever driven to church a little bit over the speed limit? Maybe because the interstate was blocked today? Okay. you've broken the law. Would anybody want to admit that you have texted while you have been driving? Oh, please don't do that. Please don't do that. You see, in so many little ways, little, until somebody is hurt, we find ourselves sometimes breaking laws, and sometimes breaking laws that we don't even know existed in the first place. Jesus gives five, or excuse me, Moses gives five infinitives here in this passage. We're to fear the Lord. We're to walk in God's ways. We're to love God. We're to serve God. We're to keep God's commandments and statutes, which means every word that God has ever said, including the Ten Commandments, but going fast forward even to what Jesus shares in the Sermon on the Mount. If we violated those things in act or in principle or even in our imagination, do you remember what Jesus said? If you even look with a lustful look, you're guilty of adultery. So here's the point of our text this morning. And this may be the shortest sermon you ever hear me preach. This sermon and this text tells us three quick things. One is this. It is covenant language that Moses uses. This is how you have to respond to a God who has done everything for you. He has delivered you from Egyptian bondage. He has guided you through this wilderness experience. He has kept every promise he has ever made. He's kept his end of the covenant, and this is your part of the covenant that you are expected to keep. You're to fear God, walk in God's ways, love God, serve God, and keep God's commandments. It's covenant language. Here's the second point. God's people could not keep the covenant. Man, they just messed up. If you are following along in the read through the Bible text this year, then this morning you read the first two chapters of the book of Judges. And as you read those first verses in chapters 1 and in the parts of chapters 2 that were a part of our reading this morning, then you saw what was there. That there was a little bit of compromise, and a little bit of compromise led to a thorn in the flesh and a snare for the people of God. And he had to come and correct that because it was a broken covenant. So it's covenant language. Two, Israel could not keep the terms of the covenant. And here's the third part. Neither can you, neither can I. I mean, it doesn't seem very difficult to fear God, to walk in his ways, to love God, to serve God, to keep his commandments and his statutes. It's pretty simple. If that's all I have to do, then I should be able to do that. But you know what? I can't. I've blown it. I've fallen back on this too many times. I've not always had a reverential fear of God. I haven't always walked in God's ways. I haven't always loved God by loving other people. I haven't always served God with the kind of heart that I needed to. And I haven't always kept his commandments and his statutes, have you? Things that keep us from doing this are things like laziness. Let me remind us that failing to do what is right is just as wrong as doing what is wrong. And laziness keeps us from being covenant keepers. Comparison keeps us from being covenant keepers as well. We highlight our own strengths while looking down our nose at others who aren't quite as good as us. And most of us have done that. We have indifference towards the poor and the needy. You don't believe it? Just check your pulse the next time you see someone standing at a street corner, either selling a newspaper or holding a little cardboard sign asking you to contribute to their cause. The truth is, we are fallen members of a fallen world, and we need God's grace. I can't keep the law, and neither can you. And because we couldn't keep the law, we were lawbreakers. And as lawbreakers, according to what Scripture teaches, we deserved the righteous wrath of God because we're sinners. And there was nothing that you or I could do to redeem our situation. We had to be rescued. And at just the right time, praise God, Jesus Christ, born under the law to save those of us who were under the law. He was born of woman so that he might identify with us. And he accomplished everything perfectly that God needed for him to do in order that our redemption might be purchased. I want to read from Romans chapter 3 today. And I'm going to read it from Eugene Peterson's paraphrase, The Message. Some of you, I know, prefer the other more accurate translations, but this paraphrase really takes these words and it makes them so crystal clear for each one of us. Listen from verse 10 and following. There's nobody living right, not even one. Nobody who knows the score, nobody alert for God. They've all taken the wrong turn. They've all wandered down blind alleys. No one's living right. I can't find a single one. Their throats are gaping graves. Their tongues slick as mudslides. Every word they speak is tinged with poison. They open their mouths and they pollute the air. They race for the honor of center of the year. Litter in the land with heartbreak and ruin. Don't know the first thing about living with others. They never give God the time of day. This makes it clear, doesn't it, that whatever is written in these scriptures is not what God says about others, but to us to whom these scriptures were addressed in the first place. And it's clear enough, isn't it, that we are sinners, every one of us, in the same sinking boat with everybody else. Our involvement with God's revelation doesn't put us right with God. What it does is force us to face our complicity in everyone else's sin. But in our time, something new has been added. What Moses and the prophets witnessed all those years has happened. The God setting things right that we read about has become Jesus setting things right for us. And not only for us, but for everyone who believes in him. For there is no difference between us and them in this. Since we've compiled this long and sorry record as sinners, both us and them, and proved that we are utterly incapable of living the glorious lives God wills for us, God did it for us. Out of sheer generosity, he put us in right standing with himself, a pure gift. He got us out of the mess we're in and restored us to where he's always wanted us to be. And he did it by means of Jesus Christ. The scriptures tell us that Jesus, with a great desire on his heart, desired to share this meal with his disciples. And so preparations were made in that upper room so long ago, on the evening before Jesus would be giving his all for you and for me. This morning, I hope that as you came in, you picked up one of our fellowship cups. But if not, I want to encourage you to make your way to the edge of the foyer. They're right outside the door. And pick one of these up for you so that you can join us and participate with us. We do have some that are ready to even help. If you did not get one, you could just simply lift your hand and they'll bring those to you. That's even better. In just a moment, we'll be taking this. I want to remind you that there is a clear, removable top, and you pull the clear lid off first to get to the bread. And then after we've taken the bread together, I'll instruct you to pull the lid back for the juice. And we'll continue to celebrate the Lord's Supper together using these fellowship cups this morning. I want to invite our deacon officers who are going to be praying for us today to make their way to the microphones. And let me remind you that we are doing this in remembrance of him. If you think for a moment that you can keep those five infinitives, if you think you can keep the commandments, if you think you can somehow pull yourself up by your own bootstraps to be good enough and accepted by a holy God, you're only kidding yourself. It is the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for each one of us that allows us to be called children of God. So today, as we take just a moment, I'll ask you to go ahead and pull the top lid back if you've not already done so. And if you'll take the piece of bread and if you'll simply hold it while we pray.
Father, as we enter this time in our service, we pray that each of us will consider this not as mere ritual or rote or something that we just do every quarter at this church. Father, we pray that you'll touch each and every heart with a profound appreciation for what this sacrifice cost your son so that we could have eternal life and the forgiveness of sins. Father, please forgive each of us of our sins. Please make each of us, give each of us the goal that we would always be found in your service. And Father, may we always be committed to your church. Amen.
Church, this is the body of Christ for you. Take and eat. Pull the second part of the lid back and simply hold your cups and let's pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for our salvation that is possible only through him, only through his blood that was shed for our sins. We thank you that they are completely washed away and that Jesus was able to take our place on the cross. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. And church, this is the blood of Christ for you. Take and drink. This morning we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. This is an opportunity for you, If you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, or if you're looking for a place to call your church home and you're ready to make First Baptist that place, we would invite you to share that decision with me here at this altar so that I can share it with our church family as well. We'd love to welcome you. If there's a commitment that you need someone to pray with you about, then we have deacons who will be more than happy to assist in that as well. Let's stand together. Let's sing, and you come. To invite Nicole to make her way over and stand with Pastor Frank. We're continuing to get information over there, but I think I can do this. So, Nicole, would you remind me, how old are you?
I'm 10.
10 years old, that's what I thought. We had a chance to talk about that, your birthday, as we began to think about your spiritual birthday. And you came to my office not long ago with Mom and Dad and talked about asking Jesus into your heart. And today you're coming before your church family to say that you've asked Jesus in and you're ready to follow him in believer's baptism. Is that right?
Yes.
Church family, if you're excited for Nicole and you would like her to know that you're going to continue to be praying for her in the decision that she's made to follow Christ as her Savior, would you let her know that this morning by saying amen?
Amen.
Nicole, God bless you. I'm so happy for you. And Amy and Brian, I'm going to ask you to come and stand with your daughter. You've done such a great job. You know, today's one of those days that if you've been here long enough, you can look back with some great joy. It was my privilege to walk around this sanctuary 14 years ago. And to hold Paisley in my arms, and then Griffin when he was just a baby. And Nicole, I did that with you. As parents made a commitment, and as this church family made a commitment to help you and to pray for you and to teach you so that your heart could be inclined to want to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And we saw two baptized today, and Nicole, we're going to see your baptism very soon. And I'm so excited about what God continues to do in the life of this church, especially when we think about individuals who give their heart to Christ. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. Church family, I know you're excited for Nicole. And I know that today is a day that we've had the privilege of being able to be reminded of these two ordinances that we've celebrated. I shared this with you in my newsletter as well as in the video on Friday, and some of you may not have heard that, so it bears repeating. There's ever been a time that God's people needed to be reminded of our mission. It's today. Our mission is reaching people for Christ. Our mission fails if we do anything else. Our mission is to share Jesus with others. And what made that mission possible is that Jesus Christ was willing to take our sin and to die for it on the cross. And we remembered that today with the ordinance, not only of baptism, but of the Lord's Supper. As we think about that sacrifice that he made for each one of us. This hour together in worship today should strengthen you and encourage you for the week ahead, and I hope and pray that it does. If you're a guest, when we dismiss